Let's take a moment and let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's remember that we believe there's somebody here who we can't see. And we believe that the God who created the heavens and created the earth is here present with us right now. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just give us an awareness of your presence, Lord. And that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message today. I pray that you would touch our hearts. Help us be able to feel that you are here with us. God, I sing your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about Christmas. We're going to talk about how God has defeated the darkness of this world. Before I do, if we can go to the next slide, I thought I'd share with you a picture of myself from when I was a young kid at Christmas. And I don't know what's up with the Packers shirt, Mom and Dad. I think what happened back then was the Packers were so bad that they were just giving that old stuff away for free. We didn't have a lot of money. Yeah. I was classy, though. I think that's back in style. Packers fans, don't be mad, you guys are on top. But there's a picture of myself back in Christmas, and this picture just reminds me of everything that I love about Christmas. Me getting gifts. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, that is a part of Christmas, isn't it? The celebration, the gifts, the family. When we think about Christmas, we think it's like our warm and safe place of the year. Because this is going to be a crazy world, and life can be crazy and scary, but Christmas is like this warm, safe place that we have that we can count on to be wonderful. And when we think of Christmas, we think of choir concerts and Christmas pageants and kids programs and nativity scenes. And we think of decorations and get-togethers and celebration. And this picture just brings all those feelings back for me. All those feelings of Christmas being just this warm and safe place. But there's a problem with that. And the problem with that is that we don't live in a very warm and safe world. Why don't we go to the next slide? Our world is filled with darkness. And we don't like to think about it. Many people even try to deny that. But sometimes the presence of darkness is so strong. Sometimes the presence of evil is so strong in our world that we can't ignore it no matter how hard we try. And we had an instance like this just a week ago when an individual who was so inspired by the darkness and so committed to the darkness that they walked into a school. And they killed dozens of them. Dozens of kindergarten children. Sorry, I didn't think I was getting so emotional over there. But we live in a very dark world, and there's darkness all around us. We like to ignore it, but sometimes we can't. We can't ignore the presence of darkness in this world. Sometimes it won't let us. So even though we'd like to ignore it, even though it's Christmas and it's our warm, safe place, it's our warm, safe time of the year, sometimes we can't ignore it and we have to talk about it. And Christianity is a religion which is not afraid to talk about the darkness. Christianity tells us where the darkness comes from. It tells us what to expect from the darkness. And it also tells us how the darkness is defeated. And the Bible is God's word. In the Bible, we find stories and examples of all the types of darkness which human beings participate in and encounter in our lives and in our history. The Bible is God's word. That means God is not afraid to talk about the darkness. And the Bible is a story of how God came to earth to defeat the darkness. And so we don't have to be afraid to talk about it. We don't have to be afraid to address it, because we have a God who's not afraid to talk about it, and a God who's not afraid to confront the darkness in our world. And last week we had our Christmas program, and I hope you're here to see that. It was just wonderful. We had so many young kids up here, little kids, and we had Mary and Joseph and the little sheep. Everybody loves the sheep and the shepherds. And we had all these little angels come up, and these little angels stood out on stage, and two twins started crying and needed to be taken back up on the stage. And it was just adorable, and it was heartwarming, and it was endearing. And that was our nativity scene. But we have the nativity scene, and we have Christmas, because we have a God who is not afraid to confront the darkness of this world. And sometimes it's hard to connect the two, because it's so adorable and so endearing and so heartwarming. And I wonder, is this little thing that we were reenacting, that we were play-acting, is this really God's plan to defeat the darkness of this world with a little baby? And it's hard to connect the two. Sometimes it's hard to understand how Christmas is a part of God's plan to defeat the darkness. But we need to understand the nativity scene and how it confronts the darkness of this world. We need to understand how the darkness felt about the coming of Christ in the nativity scene. And we see that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 8. And the darkness is threatened, afraid, and frightened at the coming of Christ and at the nativity scene. And King Herod is at that time of Jesus' birth is the king of Israel. And he sees that Jesus Christ is coming, and he's afraid, he's threatened, and he's frightened by that. And so he finds these wise men who are off to find the king. They're off to find Jesus Christ and worship. And Herod says to these wise men, he says, hey, when you find Jesus, come back and tell me, because I'd like to go worship him too. But the wise men know that Herod isn't going to worship him. They know that he's going to try to destroy the nativity scene. And so when the wise men go and they find Jesus, they worship and they go off and they don't tell anyone. They don't tell Herod. Because they know that Herod is threatened and frightened and afraid. And they know that Herod is going to try to destroy the nativity scene. And when Herod finds out that he's not going to be able to find out where Jesus is, when the wise men go off and they don't come back, he has a new plan to destroy the nativity scene. He sends out his guards. He says, go kill every child 2 years old and under in the area. He desperately tries to destroy the nativity scene because he's so offended, so frightened, and so threatened. And it's called the slaughter of the innocents. And it's just another one of those things that God is not afraid to talk about. Because God is coming to confront the darkness of this world. And he's coming to defeat it. And that's why we have Christmas. That's why we have the nativity scene. And the darkness is just as threatened and afraid and frightened and offended at the nativity scene today as it was back then. And if you watch news, you can't miss the stories about people who are rebelling against God and rejecting his light, and how they are fighting tooth and nail to get the nativity scene removed so that they don't have to see it. But we have the nativity scene because we have a God who has come to earth to confront the darkness of this world. And to understand how Christmas fits in to the nativity scene, how Christmas fits into God's plan to defeat the darkness, how the nativity is God's plan, we have to understand the darkness. We have to go back to the beginning, because the darkness has always been with us. Why don't we go to the next slide? Since the first human beings rebelled against God, the darkness has been present in our world. And we find very early on that the darkness spread and pretty much took over the whole earth. Get that next slide there for me. In Genesis 6:5, it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And as we say that the darkness spread and that it's pretty much prolific over the earth at this time. Let's go to the next slide. It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, the earth was filled with violence. And so from the time that the first human beings rebelled against God, the darkness entered the world, the darkness had taken over. And God had a plan from the beginning He wasn't going to leave us alone. He wasn't going to let the darkness continue, the violence and the corruption. He wasn't going to let that continue forever. God had a plan from the very beginning to come to earth himself, to come in the flesh, and to defeat the darkness, and to free his people. Let's go to the next slide. And so God, amidst all this corruption, we can go to the next slide again. Amidst all this corruption, amidst all this violence, God finds a faithful person. And he lets this faithful person in on his plan. This guy's name is Abraham. And God tells Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, that you will be a blessing. And so God lets Abraham in on his plan to come to earth himself and defeat the darkness. And what he tells Abraham is, you'll have many descendants, you'll have many children, I'll make of you a great nation, I will bless you so that you can bless the world. And so God does, and Abraham starts having all these children, all these descendants, and they become a great nation. And God begins speaking to this nation and revealing himself to them, telling himself who he is and what he is like, to prepare them for the day when he would come to earth himself. And so God begins revealing himself to this nation, they grow, and the knowledge of God is spreading on the earth. And the nations are Israel's teaching the nations about God as well. Through what the prophets are saying, what the scriptures are being written. And the world is being blessed through this nation of Israel. God's preparing the world for when he comes in the flesh. And so Israel is this great nation. Now they've got this king. God told this to Abraham in about the year 1800 before Christ. And 800 years pass, and Israel becomes this great nation. Now they have King David, another person who's faithful to God. And God lets King David in on his plan. Let's go to the next slide. And God tells King David, he says, I'm going to raise up your offspring after you, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. And so this is about 1,000 years before Christ now. 800 years have passed since God let people in on his plan. Now God has revealed a little bit more of his plan to David. He says, one of your descendants is going to be my son, and he'll be a king, and he'll reign forever. He'll have an eternal kingdom. So God has a plan to come and defeat the darkness in the flesh. He lets Abraham in on it, and 800 years later, he lets David in on it. But then something surprising happens. Or it's kind of a pattern with humanity. We choose the darkness over God. And so the nation of Israel begins to rebel against God, the God that is teaching them about himself and revealing himself to them. The God who plans to come to them in person to defeat the darkness. Israel rebels and they fall and they are overcome by the darkness. God gives them up to their enemies. And they're no longer a nation. They no longer have a king. And God tries to restore them through the prophets and through the scriptures. And the prophets are telling the nation of Israel, we're going the wrong way. We're going into the darkness. We've got to turn around. But they don't. And they're defeated by their enemies. And about 400 years before Christ, they don't have a king, they don't have a nation. And people are beginning to worry, what happened to God's plan that he told to Abraham and that he told to David? Now we don't have a nation, we don't have a king. Is God still coming? Is God going to come and defeat the darkness? Or will the darkness win? And the people felt that God stopped speaking to them at this time, that God went silent. In the 400 years before Christ, there's no scripture written. In between the Old and the New Testament, there's a period of 400 years where people felt that God was silent. He wasn't speaking to them. He was no longer revealing himself to the nation of Israel, preparing them for his presence as he had in the past. And they were wondering what had happened. Is God still coming? So we're going to read from the book of Luke. If you want to turn with me there now. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles back on the table. Feel free to stand up and go grab one if you need one. We'll be reading from the book of Luke, if you'd like to join me. And so for 400 years, people have felt that God is silent. They're wondering what has happened to God's plan. We'll start reading Luke chapter 1, verse 5. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So we got two main characters. We got Zechariah the priest, and his wife Elizabeth. And it says, verse 6, that they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. And so Zechariah is a priest, and he worships God, and he and his wife are faithful to God that has a plan. The God who let Abraham in on his plan, and the God who let David in on his plan, and the God that they're waiting for. That they're waiting to come to earth to defeat the darkness. It says in verse 7 that they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Verse 8 says, now while he was serving as a priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And so this hour of incense was a ritual where the people all got together and they prayed. And a priest would get to go into the temple and burn incense during this time once in his lifetime. It was a very special moment. So Zechariah enters the temple alone while everybody else is outside praying. And Zechariah begins to burn incense. And the smoke rises from the incense up, and this is a symbol of the intercession of the people who are praying. They're praying to God, and their prayers are going up to God, and this burning of incense is like a symbol, a sign of what is actually happening, of the prayers going up and reaching God's ears. This was a very special moment for Zechariah. He gets to do this once in his life as a priest. And it's at this time, this special moment, that God comes back. And the silence is broken. Verse 11 says, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And so we go from 400 years of silence and people waiting and wondering, is God still coming? What has happened to God's plan? The plan that he revealed to Abraham, the plan that he revealed to David, what is going to happen? And we go from 400 years of silence to God speaking to Zechariah. It says in 12 that Zechariah was troubled when he saw him and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And in verse 16, we'll skip down, it says, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. The nation which had rebelled against God, which had been overcome by the darkness, the angel tells Zechariah that his child is going to turn them back to God. Verse 17 says, this child will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And so God has not forgotten his plan to come to earth, to come to earth in the flesh. He's not forgotten his plan to defeat the darkness. He's still preparing the people, just as he was preparing the nation of Israel by teaching them about himself and revealing them about himself. He's going to do the same thing now with John, with the son of Zechariah. And so this child is going to go before the Lord to prepare the people for the Lord. And how is the Lord going to come? On verse 26, still in chapter 1, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was troubled greatly at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, he will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And do you remember what God told David? He said, one of your offspring, David, is going to be my son, and he will reign forever on the throne. And so the angel is clearly connecting Jesus to God's plan, the plan that he revealed to Abraham, the plan that he revealed to David. The angel says that Jesus will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be the Son of God. And he will reign on the throne of his father, David. He will be a descendant to David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. He will be an eternal king. And so we see that God hasn't forgotten about his plan. His plan, which has remained the same forever, to come and personally defeat the darkness of this world. And the angel is connecting Jesus. He's connecting the dots and saying Jesus is God's plan. The plan that he revealed to Abraham and David. The plan that he had from the beginning. And it just, Jesus just isn't connected. The promise is given to David. In verse 46, Mary begins praising God for what he's doing. She begins praising the Lord. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. If you go down to 54, she connects Jesus to God's plan, which he revealed all the way back to Abraham. She says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And so it's clear that Jesus is God come to earth. He's a fulfillment of God's plan, which God had from the beginning, to defeat the darkness, which he told that Abraham, and he let David in on it. Now he's letting us in on it. He's letting Mary in on it. He's letting Zechariah in on it. God hasn't forgot about his plan. He won't just let the darkness rule on this earth forever. His plan is still to come and remove the darkness and to defeat it. And so John the Baptist, who's going to go before the Lord, in verse 66, he's born, and people see that this is special. They see that God is moving again after 400 years of silence. The people are excited. They're wondering what's going on, and they ask Zechariah, they say, what then will this child be? Talking about John, son of Zechariah. For the hand of the Lord was with him. So they see that God is moving again after 400 years, that God is going forward with his plan, and they're like, Zechariah, what's going on? What's happening? In verse 67, it says, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, which is that God would bless him, so that he could be a blessing to the world, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. So let's go back to the top. What did Zechariah actually say here? Verse 69 says, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So again, Zechariah is connecting God's plan with Jesus Christ, who's a descendant of David. He's connecting Jesus with the promises that God gave to David. He said, these promises is that God has raised up a horn of salvation. What does that mean? Well, when you think about it, what was the most powerful thing that they had back then, back in that day? The most powerful thing. They didn't have trucks. They didn't have semis. They didn't have airplanes. They had an ox. An ox was the most powerful thing they had, and what did the ox use to defeat its enemies? He had horns. And so horns became a great symbol of power and force. And when warriors would go into battle, they put ox horns on their helmet as a symbol of power and force. Here we come, look out. We're here to defeat our enemies. And so Zechariah says, God is raising up a horn of salvation, a powerful force of salvation. That's what Jesus is, the descendant of David. We're going to be saved from our enemies. We're going to be saved from the darkness. And he says, it's just as, verse 70, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old. And he doesn't just go back to David. He goes all the way back to the beginning, to Abraham, verse 73. He says, this is God's plan that he told David and that he told Abraham. And so, Zechariah 2 connects Jesus Christ with God's plan, the plan that he had from the beginning, the plan to come to earth, himself to defeat the darkness, the plan that they let Abraham in on and David in on, and now he's telling everybody, he's telling Mary, he's telling Zechariah, it's here, it's now, God is coming to earth. And what will John do? What will John the Baptist do? Well, now Zechariah in verse 76 turns to his child who's just been born. He says, you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so John the Baptist is going to go before the Lord. He's going to prepare the people for the Lord, for God's presence on earth. He's going to prepare the people for when God has come to earth in the flesh to defeat the darkness of this world. John's going to go before and he's going to give people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And why is he going to do this? Because he's here to prepare the people. Because Jesus is coming. Because God is coming. God is here to fulfill his plan, which he had from the beginning, to defeat the darkness. This is 1,800 years in the making. And now God is here. Jesus is coming. The light is coming. The light for people who sit in darkness. And that's why we have the Nativity scene. That's why we have Christmas. It's about God himself come to earth to defeat the darkness of this world. The darkness that is present in every school shooting. And the darkness that is present in every greedy person and organization which tries to take away the freedoms of others. The darkness that is present in war and in slavery and every tragic illness and every death. The darkness that is present whenever we lose a loved one. The darkness that's present when a husband beats his wife, when a child is abused or neglected. The darkness that is present in every one of us who have lusted and lied and hated and envied. We've all been hurt by the darkness. And yet we've all made choices which have hurt ourselves and hurt others and rebelled against God. And Jesus is here to defeat that darkness. The good news is that God will not let this go on forever. He's here to deliver his people from the darkness. He's here to end evil. And Jesus Christ has been doing this for 2,000 years. He's bringing light to our darkness. And he's guiding us into peace with a God who comes to confront the darkness and remove it. For 2,000 years now, God has been guiding people into the way of peace with him through Jesus Christ. He's offering us salvation through the forgiveness of our sins, the times that we've hurt ourselves, hurt others, and rebelled against him. He's offering us salvation through the forgiveness of our sins, the times that we have helped the darkness. And when Jesus Christ returns, he will remove the darkness completely. It says in Revelation 21 that there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more pain. There will be no more darkness. There will be no more evil. And right now, God is offering us salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. He's guiding us into the way of peace with the God who is going to come and confront and remove the darkness for good. And God defeated the darkness in my life and forgave me of my sins through Jesus Christ. And he guided me into the way of peace with a God who comes to confront the darkness. And if you are tired of the darkness of this world, and if you are ready to reject the darkness and ready to worship a God of light, Jesus too will guide you into peace with a God who comes to deliver his people and remove the darkness from this world. And if you need light in your life, if Christmas isn't exactly the warm, safe place that you hoped it would be this year, if you're looking for the light of Jesus Christ, and you're wondering if Jesus can guide you into that peace, I know that he can. And if you're interested in Jesus being the light of your life, we're going to continue reading through the book of Luke, and we're going to continue our sermon series called Defeating the Darkness. We're going to find out how Jesus Christ brings light to our life and light to our world, how he defeats the darkness in our lives today, and how he will one day come and remove it completely. If you're interested, I invite you to come back. And if you're interested in seeking God's light through Jesus Christ, why don't you bow your heads and just pray with me. God, I thank you so much for this just opportunity to be in your presence and to worship you, God. I thank you that you won't leave us alone. I thank you that you've come to defeat the darkness in this world which is filled with so much suffering and so much pain for so many people. God, we look forward to the day when you will return, when Christ will come back and completely remove the darkness from our world. And there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more evil. And God, we ask for your light to shine in our lives today. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins, the way we've hurt ourselves, hurt others, and rebelled against you. And we thank you for your mercy that you have sent your Son Jesus to forgive us, to bring us into peace. God, I pray that if we are looking for that peace today, that you would provide that for us through the power of your Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would shine your light in our lives. And God, I pray that you would bless us as we seek your word and seek your spirit through this sermon series these next few months. I pray for anybody who is experiencing darkness in their lives today. pray that you would bless them. Send your Holy Spirit into their lives, God. Deliver them and bring life. And bring hope. Lord, guide us into peace. We pray these things in your name, Jesus.